Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Going to turn our attention to Greece now, where firefighters are battling to extinguish the remnants of wildfires that have been burning in the suburbs of Athens since Sunday. One woman died. Thousands were forced to flee their homes in what was the country's worst wildfire of the year. To discuss this and the threat of global wildfires in a record-breaking year for heat, I'm joined by Eleni Mirivili, who is the Global Chief Heat Officer for UN Habitats, former Chief Heat Officer and Deputy Mayor of Athens. Good morning to you, and thank you very much for joining us again. Were you surprised, or was this something that you entirely expected to see happen at the end of one of the hottest years on record?
Good morning, Philip. We did expect it. We were very, very worried throughout the winter that something like that was going to happen. And as you said, 2024 ended up being one of the hottest years we've ever had. And following 2023, which was the hottest. Mm. So we've had very little rainfall, and we had really long periods of extreme heat in June and July, and now August again we have heat waves. So yes, it's been really, really hard. And together with these extraordinary winds that we had over the past few days, it was really explosive, the conditions for a really nasty fire.
Did Athens do enough to prepare?
Oof, it's difficult to prepare for these things. From firefighters globally are saying that the type of fires that they've been dealing with the last few years have been real monsters, and they're really, really difficult to handle after they ignite. Now, prevention-wise, I don't think we did enough. No, I think we should have done much more. I think exactly because the winter was so, so hot, we should have had like some kind of emergency status in relation to our forests going on, and really have gone in and prepared as much as possible, much, much better than
what
we had.
What does preparation look like in that case, Eleni? Does it mean that you have to conduct controlled burning during the winter months in order to remove that source of fuel for the summer?
Okay, first of all, let me qualify my answer by saying that I'm not a fire expert. So from what I've read, however, because I'm dealing with heat and of course fire is one of the things that is a concomitant crisis that comes out, cascading, one of the kind of things that follow heat. But from the things I've been reading from, you know, both California and Australia and, you know, Canada and Portugal, they've been trying to use this kind of burning of low brush there is less fuel for big fires to feed off of, and trees actually can survive these. They can actually create a condition where trees can survive fires that are of less intensity if you do that. So yes, this is one way of doing it, but I think from what I understand, it's a bigger issue which has to do with how we deal with our forest and how we plan to engage with our forest and make sure that we manage them better and we have more people kind of living close to them and off of them, so that we actually can use them and manage them better. And I think that this is something that means that we have to engage communities, that we have to really, really think about rational, you know, like really kind of almost out of the box also and in innovative ways on how we can save our forests, because they're burning so much faster than they used to. I was reading a report recently that said that we're losing twice the amount of canopy from trees than we used to lose yearly, like just two decades ago. So it's really doubled the amount of forest that we're losing these years. So we have to really figure out how to deal with that.
Climate scientists are saying that because we this year and last year passed temporarily through an additional 1.5 degrees of global warming, that it gave us a glimpse into what the world is going to look like and how intense these wildfires are going to be by the middle of the 2030s when we pass through that threshold more permanently. But that in the meantime, as we cycle out of an El Nino into a La Nina, that things will cool down. Is that an opportunity, do you think, to prepare ourselves better rather than having to literally keep on fighting fire after fire after fire?
This is perfectly put. I think, Philip, you really nailed it. If we do manage to have a few years that we are cooler, we really have to get our acts together and build resilience to what will be coming, because it is coming. We know that we're heating up the planet much faster than we expected. And as you said, the last 13 months, all of them, each of the last 13 months were above the 1.5 degrees Celsius from the pre-industrial era, which is what, you know, we're trying to keep us below. But, you know, this is 1 year. So the next couple of years, we might manage to do much better temperature-wise globally. We expect that we will. And so it's the perfect time to prepare. And preparing means we really have to go horizontal to figure out all the different ministries and all the different types of policies across the board, from the health, of course, from the health departments and health ministries, all the way to the urban planning, all the way to our budgeting. It all has to take into consideration that we live in a different climate and we have to prepare our infrastructure very differently than we've been doing up to now. I recently we got this call for action from the Secretary General of the UN, call for action for extreme heat. It came out almost 10 days to a couple of weeks ago. And I know that the UN is pulling together 10 different agencies, and we are starting to prepare to give specific actionable strategies for different countries to be dealing with extreme heat, which is really needed.
You've talked to us about those before and how we need to build our cities differently and so on. But just staying with the wildfires for one moment longer, because we do know that even in countries like Ireland and across Northern Europe, this is going to become more of an issue. And we interviewed a firefighter relatively recently who said something rather surprising to me, that you cannot put firefighters in front of flames that are more than a metre high, that once they get to a metre, 2 metres, you need to, the only response is mechanised. So that really does suggest, doesn't it, that as we move forward, countries all over the world are going to have to invest huge amounts of money in their firefighting resource.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because the type of flames that we're seeing in these mega fires that people are dealing with, that the fires are dealing with, are 20 meters high. I mean, and they create a special type of microclimate around the fire where, I mean, firefighters that I've talked to have said that the water that they throw from helicopters evaporates before it even hits the fire. So we really have to work a lot on prevention and make sure that we are really seriously protect the forests in advance and be very, very use clever means with technology and drones and all of our possible kind of solutions to make sure that we catch fires very early on, at the very, very beginning, and also that we also create the type of forests that don't burn so easily. I mean, in Greece, we have pine forests, which really burn very, very fast. So we have to create a type of biodiversity that is more resilient to fire as well in our forests.
Dr. Eleni Merivili, thank you very much for talking to us from the Greek island of Lesbos this morning. Coming up after the break, TY Year.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.